you, Lord. All right, let's get our Bibles, Genesis chapter 3 tonight. Brother, I was telling Brother Sam, he didn't tell us about his afternoon, he didn't tell us about his nap, but he had a very busy afternoon and didn't get a nap, so y'all keep an eye on him during preaching, all right? He normally lets us know about these things, he didn't do it tonight. We look forward to those updates, amen? That's good. All right, let's go to Genesis 3. We're going to read verses 8 through 10 to begin with tonight. Genesis 3, verse 8, if you're there. You know what? You're right. One reason is I didn't do the word find, because did you find it? What's the word? Okay. Okay, all right, well, we're good then. Y'all realize that was the same one from last week, right? That's why I didn't do it. I forgot to update it, but anyway, you found it again. That's good. All right, and the Senate sermon was, for a church to be evangelistic, its people must be evangelistic. And that was said by Pastor Conyers in a message just recently, and I thought it was so good, I quoted myself in here, amen? So... You've got an eternal copy of it right there, amen? All right. All right, Genesis 3 and verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Let's pray. Father God, direct us and help us tonight, and teach us and speak to us. I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Very interesting. Turn of events right here. They've been in the garden. They've been in the perfect world. But everything is now changed. So Adam definitely found himself in the wrong place. And here he is now hiding behind the trees of the garden whenever the Lord shows up to meet with him and fellowship and talk with him. So he got into sin. And he got us all into sin. He got away from God with this. And this is the saddest story right here in the Bible. The saddest story in the world right here. That this one man plunged the whole world into sin. So when I'm talking about people who got themselves in the wrong place, this is the worst case of it right here. And this is the reason for any other cases that we can talk about. Our sin nature is the reason we get ourselves in the wrong place. But Adam is the one that brought that on. So he put us all in the wrong place. Paul explained it in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now we got that from Adam. So we can blame Adam. You're okay to blame Adam, but let me hasten to say, we all have to make our personal confession of our own sins too, right? We will blame Adam. Well, poor guy, for eternity, right? But truth of the matter is, we're all sinners. We all have to make confession for ourselves. So the first Adam put us in this trouble. Thank God the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, can bring an end to it. He can bring the remedy to it. He can bring the reconciliation. Now, God did not get caught off guard with this. God did not say, oh, no. No, the Bible tells us before the foundation of the world, God already knew he was going to send his son to save the human race. God did not make robots that had to do what he said. He gave a free will, and he gave one command, and God was not caught off guard that this situation happened like it did. And God very early on teaches us some things here about redemption. If we were to go on and talk about how God took care of it. But I'll tell you what, let's go back in verse 1. Let's go back and read back up to where we just were at. Okay, look at verse 1. Here the Bible says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So we're told about how God made all the animals and God made people. And the Bible says the serpent was more subtle than anything he had made. The word subtle, the idea of cunning and crafty. Very sneaky. Now, we think of a serpent, a snake, as a very repulsive thing. If you're in your right mind, you do. Amen, right? Y'all understand that? If you're in your right mind, you know this. That's not your family pet. Amen? It is for some people. I get that. But most of us know better, amen, than that. If you've got a snake in a cage, just mark it down. He's going to get out at some point. So don't even get started with that. Amen. All right. So anyway, but isn't that an amazing verse in the Bible? Let's finish the verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So there's a conversation. This subtle, crafty, cunning, attractive, beautiful serpent. I think at that time it was. I don't think it was repulsive. I think the repulsiveness is a part of the curse. The being on its belly eating the dust of the earth was part of the curse. I don't think it was like that. I think it was upright. I think it was more attractive and more beautiful at that time. And the devil, because it was a cunning, crafty, I can't prove that, but cunning, crafty thing there, he used it because it was like him. And he speaks to the woman. Amazingly, the Bible's just an amazing book, amen? But this is a true story, a true account. And through the serpent, he speaks, and you have the first question in the Bible, along with the first appearance of the devil, and the first lie of the Bible, and the first sin of the Bible. So it all got started pretty quick, right? Right here in chapter 3. So God gave us the creation, tells us the creation, and then the serpent, the devil, shows up. Now, we learn more about the devil later on in the Bible. Isaiah tells us more about him. We learn more about him later on, but right here we see his first appearance and what he does. And in verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, so they had a conversation, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, God had told Adam, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, leave that one alone, don't eat it. God had told Adam this, Eve knows this. So the question comes up about that particular tree. You tell a child that they ought not do something, and what happens? They want to do that, right? So he brought it up to her. The one thing she wasn't supposed to do was what he brought up to her. And he enticed her with it. Verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, God had already said you would, right? So he's lying. He's already asked a question. He's casting doubt on God's word. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What did the devil want, by the way? He wanted to be like God himself, right? He wanted to know more and have more knowledge, and he wanted to be like God. So he put that to the heart of man right here to have that same desire. God's keeping something from you. God is not telling you everything. I'll tell you some things here, and I'll get you in on some stuff that he's keeping you away from. Well, I want to tell you, when God has a thou shalt not, folks, it's for your good. Listen to him. Amen? Right? So here he is telling her these things. You'll know, your eyes will be open. You'll know good and evil. Well, that turned out to be correct. That was true. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired. You notice these words. James described this same stuff to us about how temptation takes place. She saw it. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was desirable to make one wise. She took. That's when the sin That's when you get in trouble, when you reach out. Temptation's okay, but when you reach out and partake of it, you're in trouble. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Very interesting. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Something changed here. There was no shame before, right? There was no sensuality, no sinfulness, no selfishness, no self-consciousness before that. Now they've got all these things going on. So they try to cover up with these fig leaves. And then in verse 8, they hear the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. So they hid from God, right? Let's go to verse 11. A couple more questions while questions are coming up in the Bible. Verse 11, he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest me to be with me. So, all right, what happened right there? He blamed not only her, he blamed God. Well, it's your fault. You gave her to me, and look what she did. Right? That's not a biblical example, sir, for you to do. Okay, well, it's in the Bible, right? No, don't do that. So the woman which thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And that's true. All right, I'm going to stop right there. So we see what's going on here. Sin has now come into the world. The barrier has come between man and God. Man is now, Adam is now hiding himself behind the trees of the garden. God had put him in charge of tending the trees, and now he's using the trees to hide from God. Folks, that is very sad. God, the Bible says, implies here, God would come down in the cool of the day, the evening of the day, and fellowship and commune with them. I read something that this is neither here or there, but pre-appearance, as we have some in the Bible, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they saw him in person? Well, you say, well, that's not possible. No man can see God and die. You got to remember, at that point, everything was still perfect. I don't know. I don't know how it was done. I don't know if it was visible appearance of God or if it was just his voice, but it says his voice was walking. But either way, however you try to make that out, God came and communed. That's what he made them for, by the way. And he fellowshipped with them, right? But on this particular evening, when the Lord comes to visit them, they're hiding from God. Rather than delighting in that visit and looking forward to that visit, they are now dreading that visit and dodging that visit. And that is that's the saddest thing in the Bible. So the need to reconcile man to God comes about right here. We call this the fall of man right here. That's exactly what it was. He fell into sin, and everybody thereafter fell into sin. Let me give you three thoughts tonight about him, Adam, hiding behind the trees. Number one, I want to say this. Number one, he hid from his responsibility. He hid from his responsibility. Now, he hid, if you will, from being the leader. And rather, he allowed Eve to decide, and then he followed her. Y'all see that in what we read? The serpent talked to her. She made a decision. It appears to me that he's right there. He listens. He watches. He sees it all unfold. And then he partakes just like he just observed her do. Now, whether he just walked up and said, oh, my goodness, what have you done? Now, I think he might have been right there with it. It doesn't imply, that he wasn't there. But anyway, she is taking the lead, and then he follows her. Now, do y'all believe that God has established in his word male leadership? You say, that's such an antiquated, old thing. That doesn't even apply in the world anymore. Look, God establish male leadership in the home. God established male leadership, I think, even in the nations. all the kings. God established male leadership in the church. You read the New Testament. Who were the apostles? Who were the pastors? Men. I don't believe in or follow women pastors. I don't think that was God's intention. Nothing against women. This is God. We'll follow Him, right? But there should be leadership, and God said that the man would be the leader. And we'll see this here in just a moment. But Satan knows what God's doing, and Satan disturbed God's order by dealing with the woman rather than dealing with the man. He knows what God has established. He knows what God has put forth. He knows what God wants. And he always tries to mix it up and blur the lines. So he didn't go deal with Adam, who God had put in the place of leadership. He goes and deals with Eve. And then, you know, we could talk here about a lot of things. We could talk about the power of the woman. Hey, ladies, be careful. You've got a lot of influence, right? You've got a lot of power. You know that. You understand that. But she was deceived. Adam was not deceived. That's the key thing. She said, "That serpent beguiled me. He tricked me." I think he did. She was under his spell. But Adam, it was different for Adam. Adam made a willful choice. He was not deceived like she was. Now, let me read two things to you. First of all, John Phillips' commentary says, basically in so many words, at that moment, Eve was different, and Adam knew it. He could not stand to lose the woman that he had come to love, so he chose her over God and everything else. He made a willful decision right there. He knew when she partook of that fruit, that forbidden fruit, and she ate of that, he knew something in her had changed at that moment. And he chose to join her. Okay? God said this through Paul in 1 Timothy, "But I suffer not a woman, I allow not a woman to teach, nor to usurp or exercise authority over the man, but to be in silence." And he's talking about within the context of the church, right? But listen to this. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. There's that leadership priority. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. She was beguiled, she was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. Adam chose to go with her, to follow her, to sin and disobey God, right? And there's a lot we could talk about, a lot of opinions, I guess, about things here. But again, I think he just stood by, listened, and watched. And then he took, knowing full well what he was doing. He definitely was in the wrong place, following and not leading at this point. He didn't step up. He didn't get involved. And can I say this, folks? Too many men today are hiding from their responsibility to be leaders. Still happening today. I've referred to this before. The old TV show, The Waltons. Church, that's for mama and the kids. The man's got work to do. Right? You know, that's one of the devil's old lies right there. Church is for mama and the kids and not the man. But God says the man ought to be the leader in that situation right there. Amen? But you know why men are buying that lie still? Because they're not reading the Bible. They don't know what God said. They don't know what God's the responsibility that God has given. They don't know what it is. It can be a big responsibility, and like with Adam and others, it may be easy to shirk that responsibility and to say, "I don't even want to be the leader. I don't want that decision. I don't want to be that." Whatever it might be. But God has already put that in place. Men are to love their wife, respect their wife, listen to their wife. Amen. Right. And God didn't say to be a dictator over the wife. God said, if you love her, she'll go along with you just fine. Amen. Right. The wife respects the husband and follows the husband, obeys the husband and his leadership and all of that. But he's supposed to love her, and that makes it a whole lot easier to do. But Adam here was not doing what he ought to have been doing. He's off to the side watching. He's in the wrong place right here. He is shunning his responsibility, and many people are doing that today. So Adam failed to obey God, and then he chose to follow what his wife had just done. So Adam hid from his responsibility. May God help us, all of us, whatever our role is, not to hide from it, not to cower from whatever God has given us to do in our role. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. I asked y'all that 100 times this morning. Are y'all with me? I realized what it was. Brother Ron is not here tonight, so it was quiet this morning, so I had to keep saying, are y'all with me, okay? Y'all got to make up for it, amen? So I'll know you're with me tonight. All right. He hid from his responsibility. Let me say number two, though. Let's go to number two. He tried to hide from their guilt and their shame. Fig leaves. He made themselves some clothing. He had now corrupted the perfect garden. And he saw things like he had never seen things before, literally. Things were now self-centered, self-conscious, sensual, sinful, even lustful, perhaps. So Adam decided, I got to do something about this. I don't know what just happened. I don't know what it was about that serpent. I don't know what it was about that tree. I knew we were supposed to leave it alone, but we didn't leave it alone. We've now partaken of it, and something is different, way different, big time. You ever done something before and you're like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have done that. How do I undo that, right? Yeah, and you want to, so he needs to undo or fix or whatever. So he comes up with an idea that we need some clothes on. I mean, God asked him, who told you that you were naked? You never knew this before and you had no shame about it before. You didn't need clothing before. You didn't need to get up an hour early in the morning and get ready and take a shower and wash your hair and pick out your clothes. And that's all Adam's fault too, right? That you got to do all of those things. Amen. So you didn't have to do any of that. Who told you that you needed to do this? Well, it was all different in how they saw things. So whenever he tried to do something about it, he made those fig leaves, which was his feeble attempt for a man-made covering. I don't know. I wonder if he was proud of it at first. I wonder if he was proud. Look, hey, honey, look what I did. I'm very, I just made the first clothing. I just made aprons. Whatever. I don't know how they knew what to call what, but boy, isn't this pretty cool what I just did? He's sewing. He started a clothing industry. He's got the fashion going, the fig company thing going here. He might be pretty proud of what he did. I had this pocket right here this morning, by the way. I got a big hole in this pocket right here. So I pulled it out this morning, and I said, well, I don't have needle and thread. But I was in my office, and I did have a stapler. Amen. I'm pretty proud of that right there. That works. Now my cough drops are back in there and not falling through anymore. It works. Amen. So I'm proud of that. Now, probably about like fig leaves, it's not going to last very long, right? I don't know how long that's going to hold up. So he soon found out and understood and realized that his little invention was inadequate. It wasn't going to do the job. It wasn't going to last. They were going to soon be in trouble and be shopping for new clothes again with what he had done. It was inadequate. You know, it's a picture of mankind today. It's a picture of religion and mankind trying to cover his own sins. It's inadequate. Nothing that we try to do to cover our own sin, nothing that we try to do to please God, nothing that we try to do to make our way into heaven is going to work. Nothing that we do, we're not to hide our sin, we're not to condone our sin, we're not to do anything with it but to confess it for God and let God deal with it. Amen? And I'm glad that God did deal with it. And the opportunity for the reconciliation to begin, and God gave them coats of skin later on in the chapter, right? Meaning a sacrifice had to happen to get them the proper covering. Amen? There's a lot of typology in here. Amen? Right? So a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice had to happen to cover what they had done and to cover their wrongdoing and to cover their sinfulness. And God was teaching us a lesson right there. But our weak efforts to cover sin and to reform our behavior and to justify it and to relabel it and to pretend it's all okay is inadequate with God today. Amen? That just doesn't work. But yet we're doing the same thing that Adam did. James explained to us later, with the help of the old devil and this flesh, all we're doing is deceiving ourselves into thinking we got it covered. We don't have it covered, right? We got it covered. That would have been a good title for this message right there. We got it covered. We don't have it covered. Only God can cover it. Only the blood of Jesus can cover our sins. Amen? So he hid from his responsibility. He tried to hide their guilt and their shame. But let me get to number three, and that is this. He tried to hide from God. That's the saddest part of this. He is definitely now in the wrong place, and he's hiding from God. Adam has now made a departure from God, and he's hiding behind the trees of the garden. Dodging God. Why? Because the barrier had now come between man and God. Rather than delighting in that fellowship, rather than enjoying and anticipating and looking forward to his time along with God, or them together, having their daily devotions as a married couple, if you will, with God, they're now hiding from that. But God comes looking for them. By the way, can I say this? God is always the seeking one. We're the ones running away from God. Always that way. We're the ones that, like sheep, have gone astray. God comes to us. Amen. I'm glad the Lord reaches way down. Amen. For us. God's the one that's seeking. There's no seeker. You know, we talk about today seeker-sensitive services, and let's make sinners comfortable. Look, they're not seeking God until God begins to seek them. Nobody is seeking salvation until God the Father begins to draw them to the Savior through the Holy Spirit that we talked about this morning. God comes to us. We don't go to God unless God is doing a work in our hearts. So here we have, along with the first appearance of the devil and the first lie and the first sin, we have also the first questions in the Bible. The first one comes from the devil. Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? Do you think that's really what God was saying? Do you think that's really what God means? You know, questioning the Bible leads to doubting the Word of God, right? Well, we begin to question the Bible. That's the work of the devil, to question the Bible. So he questions the Bible. But that first question produced sin. But it prompted this second, third, and fourth question of the Bible, which came from God. Adam, where art thou? Where are you at? Adam, where are you? Adam, I'm here to commune again today. Adam, I'm here to have fellowship here today. Adam, we're ready for our devotional time. We're ready for our quiet time again today. We're ready for our daily communion here today. Adam, where are you? Hey, let me ask you, dear Christian. When it comes time for your prayer time and your Bible time and your church time, is there times when God is saying, where are you? I want to commune with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to guide and direct and enable and empower and help you today. Where are you? Are you out there doing it all on your own? Well, that's a pretty good question. Amen, right? Sometimes God has to ask us these questions. Where are you? Adam, where are you at today? Why are you not here waiting? I think most days they probably went running to God. You know, when you got right with God, I dare say you had a desire and a hunger, and you would run to the church house, and you would run to your Bible time, and run to your fellowship and your devotional time. But I tell you, when you start to backslide and start to get away from God, you find yourself hiding from those things. That's what sin does. That's why we say, sin to keep you from that book, or that book to keep you from sin. Sin took them away from the Word of God, the fellowship with God, the communion with God. And it's so sad that they begin to hide from God. It's a sad departure, hiding behind the trees of the garden. But I'm glad that God knows everything. Amen. And whenever God says, "Where are you?" He knew where he was. He knew what have you done? God knew the answer to all the questions. God knew the answer to all the questions. I'm glad God, you know, the Bible, the psalmist said, it doesn't matter where I go. I can go to the depths of hell. I cannot get away from him. I'm glad we can't get away from God. I'm glad that we cannot hide but so long. God knows who you are. God knows where you are. Hey, when you were lost and you were hiding and you were running, aren't you glad he called up and found you? Amen. When you are a prodigal in your Christian life, going away from God, drifting from God, and getting away from your Bible and your prayer, and you found yourself hiding from God, aren't you glad the Lord caught up with you even in the hog pen of sin? Amen? Hey, why did that prodigal son in the hog pen finally decide it's time to go home and back to the Father? Because God Almighty was doing a work in his heart, drawing him back. You keep praying for the people you're praying for. You keep praying for the prodigals. And don't ever give up hope and faith that God cares and God loves and God speaks and God's drawing them back. Amen? He's done it with all of us. So here God is asking Adam, "Where are you? Adam, what have you done?" Adam was drawn out by God. And thankfully, that drawing out and that questioning led to confession. Now, obviously, as we see, first of all, he blamed God. He blamed Eve. Eve blamed the devil. And everybody's playing that blame game. But after they got past that, I'm glad it got to a time of admitting their sin and confessing to God. And by the way, when God begins to ask you questions, God is stirring your conscience to lead you to repentance, confession and repentance, right? I heard this statement recently. And I think it's very good, and it'll help you in your next husband and wife argument. Try this: questions stir the conscience, accusations harden the will. God was asking questions, not making accusations. God was asking questions that would draw him back. You think about that. Think of parents with children. Questions stir the conscience, accusations harden the will. I think that's pretty good advice. But that's what God was doing. He was drawing him out. Blame at first, but then confession. And then God could deal with the sin problem properly and adequately, and he did. That whole picture here, I mean, we can go on into it. This is one of the vital, most pivotal chapters in the Bible. And God gave prophecy in this, and God talked about how he's going to crush the head of the devil one day. Amen. He would bruise his heel at the cross, but the Lord crushed him. I'm glad of that. Amen. And the picture of blood sacrifice, the shedding of the blood of the innocent to cover the sins of the guilty, right here in Genesis chapter 3. Moses wrote all this. He didn't understand it. Paul explained it to us later. Amen. And we look back and we understand now it was all typology. That doesn't mean it's a fairy tale or a really neat made-up story. It's a real account. It's real history. But God was weaving into that prophecy and lessons, life lessons, and doctrinal and theological truths are all in there. Amen. And it goes deeper and deeper. And there's so many things we could talk about. There's so many questions that we could have. There's so many things that we might talk about in this, about how did this happen and that happen. And my wife and I were discussing some of these things here recently. But only what God is telling us and teaching us is what we're concerned about right now. We don't cover our sins. Let me say this to you. Adam was in the wrong place. Adam's hiding from God. Now, as Brother Allen pointed out a little while ago, these sermons always need to go. We can get back to God. And Adam did. Amen? God called in love. God called in mercy. God did not call in a terrible rebuke. God called him in mercy. God called him in love. God drew him out. So here comes Adam. After a little bit, he comes out from behind that tree and he says, "Lord, here I am, Lord, right here. And excuse my wardrobe today, Lord. It's just something I came up with since the last time you were here. And it's not very nice, is it, Lord?" And God said, it's as ugly as sin is what that is. Your wardrobe is as ugly as sin, and I'm going to give you a leather coat before this day is over with. Amen. We're going to take care of that. We're going to give you an adequate covering. But he comes out and he says, Lord, I'm afraid of you today. The fear of God? Why is there fear of God? Why are you afraid of God? You weren't afraid of God yesterday. You weren't afraid of God the day before. Sure, you were in awe of God and you respected God, but you weren't scared of God. You looked forward to God coming. And now you're afraid, and now you're hiding, and now you're running. You know, you've got loved ones right now. You're witnessing to them, and you're praying for them, and you're saying, why in the world won't you get saved? That's the old Adam nature in them. The sin nature says, get away from God. The sin nature says, listen to the devil. The sin nature says, question the Bible. But when you get right with God and the Holy Spirit comes in and you get reconciled back to God, then it's less communion with God. Less fellowship with God. Let's look forward to meeting with God. Let's go to church. Let's get in the Word. Let's get in prayer time. Let's commune. Let's don't hide from God anymore. Folks, we're going to be with God forevermore, and we're not going to be hiding from Him. Amen? We're going to be looking forward to every time we get to see Him up in heaven. But right now, it's by faith. So I'm just saying to you tonight, don't allow sin to get in the way and cause you to drift from God. Don't allow sin to get in the way and become a barrier. Look, if you're saved tonight, that barrier is gone. Those sins are covered. And it's time to fellowship with the Lord. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Bring your needs to God on a regular basis. Call out to God. Commune with God. Read your Bible. Let God speak to your heart every day. Amen. If you're hiding from God or you're trying to hide something from God, sin has gotten in the way. Now, we don't need that, and we don't want that. Hey, this year, let's say, Lord, I'm resolved to run to the Savior. Amen? I'm resolved to go to the Lord, not to run away from God. Are you looking forward to getting closer to Jesus this year? I hope you are. I hope you want to get closer to the Lord this year. I hope there's a hunger and a desire in your heart. If you've got a desire in your heart to go to the world and get away from God and hide from God and hide things from God, you go ahead and listen to the Spirit of God, because He's calling you right now. He's saying, where are you? I want you back. Amen. I want you close to me again. I want you following me again. Don't get yourself in the wrong place, hiding behind the trees, because God is coming down to commune with you today. Adam had to learn that lesson. And I'm glad we can learn it right along with Him. Amen? I hope this year we'll say, I'm not hiding. You've been in the wrong place before, perhaps. Maybe you're in the wrong place now. But you're like, I don't want no more of that. There's accountability. We got to have that. God knows you can't hide it anyway. You might as well go ahead and confess it, right? You might as well go ahead and confess it. Can't hide it from God. Adam was in the wrong place, hiding behind the trees. But I'm glad before the chapter's out, he's got a new wardrobe on that God gave him. And the sins are covered. And the fellowship is restored. And he can walk with God again. Sure, everything's different. Sin is in the world. But you know, right now, folks, we're looking forward to the garden of heaven. Amen. But you know, right now, like Adam from chapter 4 on, we can walk with God, we can commune with God, we can fellowship with God, we can follow the Lord, and we can be forgiven and cleansed, and we can have sweet fellowship with Jesus, even as sinful men. Because God made a way to cover our sins. And we're forgiven forevermore. The whole purpose was to fellowship with mankind. And for mankind to worship and glorify God. Folks, you're saved. You've been reconciled back to that. The devil through Adam and Eve hijacked the whole world, but God through Jesus brings it back together. Amen? Jesus on the cross could reach down, get your hand, reach up to the Father's hand, and brought us back together at the cross. Amen? I thought about it when we sang a little while ago, kneel at the cross. I thought about, you know, hey, the right place to be, kneeling at the cross. Amen? And that's where that reconciliation can take place. And we can have that fellowship with God. If you're saved tonight, thank God for it. If you're drifting tonight, get out of the wrong place and run back. Listen to the Lord. He's calling your name. And He'll draw you back, and we need to respond to that. Amen? Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's think about this. Dear Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You so much, Lord, for this great event in the Bible that You've told us about and given us so many details about. And Lord, You want us to learn lessons from it. And God, I pray You'd help us here this evening. Lord, speak to our hearts. God, this year, Lord, when the challenges come to drift away, Lord, help us not to do that. Help us, Lord, to follow You closely, stay with You, not allow the devil to trick us and deceive us and get us off track anymore. Lord, speak to the hearts tonight, whatever they might be, and I ask it in Jesus' name this evening. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. A little music plays. You might need to come tonight, commune with the Lord, listen to His voice, and respond tonight. You can look this way.